From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Simone Rios, and I'll be hosting this week's Consider This. Welcome to Boston. Opioid overdoses have been increasing among women in Massachusetts, but the number of women seeking addiction treatment has actually dropped, in some cases dramatically. Providers worry that less demand could lead to fewer treatment programs for women, and there are already signs of changes. WBUR's Deborah Becker has been reporting on this, and she joins us now to talk about it. Deb, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
So when did we start to see this decline in women seeking treatment for addiction?
Well, we in the newsroom started hearing from women last year that treatment programs were changing, mainly that programs that had been for women only had become co-ed programs and were accepting men. So we started looking into this, and we heard that many programs were seeing a significant drop in the number of women seeking treatment, especially during the pandemic. Victory Programs in Boston said the number of referrals that it received from women was down by almost two-thirds last summer compared with the beginning of 2020. And Victory Programs said while that number has gone up a bit since, some of its co-ed programs are now serving all men, so they don't have a wait list for men and then empty beds set aside for women. At the Dimmock Center in Boston, even though less than a quarter of its detox beds are for women, often some of those beds are empty. And we should point out that men represented almost three-quarters of all admissions to Massachusetts addiction treatment programs in the last fiscal year.
The stakes are clearly high. What are the implications? On the face of it, it sounds like a good thing that less women are seeking treatment, but I take it that's probably not the case?
No, it's not a good thing. While fewer women are seeking treatment, more women have reported using substances during the pandemic, and the number of women who died of opioid overdoses was up 15%. From 2019 to 2020. So many providers say that women face obstacles such as caring for children or other family members, and they can't just go away for treatment. Also, women risk losing custody of their children if they're getting treatment. This is what I heard from Maya Betts at the Dimmock Center.
We are looking at those motivators for treatment, and one is childcare issues and custody issues. Women are opting out of treatment to ensure that their children stay in their custody.
With the pandemic and many outside services and schools limited or remote, many women, providers say, did not seek treatment at all.
That's really unfortunate. So are these treatment centers changing their programs because of the downturn in women seeking help, or is it something else?
Well, some treatment centers say they're changing, at least temporarily, and what they can change based on licensing requirements because of this demand. Some programs say their entire focus is evolving. Gosnell Treatment Center on Cape Cod, for example, they have made their gender-specific programs all co-ed. And they say that this is being done to create more programs for co-occurring mental health and substance use disorders. Gosnell says 85% of its patients have both issues, so they wanted to dig in on the mental health part as much as the addiction part and place emphasis on recovery after treatment, which Gosnell thinks can best be done in a mixed gender setting. Of course, not everyone agrees with this, as you can imagine.
I can imagine. And I'm curious to hear what people who study addiction have to say and the people who are actually affected by all this.
Well, several addiction researchers I spoke with say that studies show single gender treatment can especially benefit women. Also, in terms of patients, I spoke with Patty Parent. Her daughter, Katie, went to an all-women's program at Gosnold on Cape Cod and did well. Unfortunately, after 3 years, Katie relapsed and she died of an overdose. But even still, Parent credited Gosnold's all-women's program, known as Emerson House, for allowing her to have her daughter back in those final years of her life. Parent had been visiting the Emerson House regularly in Katie's memory, and she thinks that single gender programming was really key for her daughter.
And they were so supportive there. It was really good. And just being just for women, it made the girls more comfortable. My daughter wouldn't have opened up. And, you know, if it was a co-ed thing, I definitely know that.
So these programs are regulated by the state, right? Which sounds like it isn't just a matter of supply and demand. But what does the state say?
The state says addiction treatment programs, especially those for women, need to make some changes. Deidre Calvert, who's the director of the Bureau of Substance Addiction Services, says women in treatment often have specific needs, such as trauma and dealing with sexual abuse and violence. So she says programs need to take that into account. Calvert says now there are 18% more treatment beds for women than there were 5 years ago, but often those beds are, what she said, underutilized. So she thinks there needs to be wholesale changes in programming to attract more women. This is what she said.
These programs, many of them were created decades ago by white men with alcohol problems, right? And so, you know, they don't actually match the needs for a BIPOC woman or a woman with children or somebody who's experienced homelessness or trauma or has been trafficked.
Calvert also says the state's collecting data on why fewer women have been seeking treatment and the best way to change programming and policies to account for the specific needs of women.
Well, it's a really thorny issue here, a lot of different dynamics at play. That's WBUR reporter Deborah Becker. Deb, thanks for bringing this important issue to light.
You're welcome.
Before we go, I should tell you what else is going on. How much erosion did the weekend storm cause on Cape Cod? That's still unclear because the deep snow is making it harder for conservation agents to assess the damage. Dave DeCanto, the natural resources director in Sandwich, says he's worried some beachfront homes are in danger because of what could be catastrophic erosion over the coming days, since the dune they sit on can't be nourished with sand at this point.
There's not a lot you can do this time of year because it'll just go away. It's a long-term process, and the planning has to go so far ahead. I mean, we should be planning for storms now for next winter.
For now, town officials in Sandwich are closely monitoring the damage that can be observed, and they're focused on clearing snow and restoring power. In other news, COVID test kits are set to be delivered to schools across Massachusetts this week. They'll go to students so they can test at home. Nearly 3,500 schools and childcare centers have signed up for tests. The state has ordered 26 million at-home rapid COVID tests, slated to be delivered by April. And finally, here's some news you might be able to use. Tax assistance is now available in different parts of the state. The Boston Tax Help Coalition is making the service available for residents making $60,000 a year or less. Bob Giannino is CEO of the United Way of Massachusetts Bay. He says the help is critical, especially to people struggling financially.
We know that households can save hundreds of dollars by using the free service and how valuable such savings are during this challenging time, but frankly, at any time.
The tax help will run through April 19th. Because of the pandemic, the service will be offered remotely, and it's available in a number of languages. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, Boston's dynamic duo of public broadcasting, I'm Simon Rios. Hasta mañana. Hey there. A lot of people listen to Consider This at the end of the day, and NPR is up first in the morning. But a lot of the actual news happens in the middle of the day, and the team bringing the best information about that news as it happens is the team behind WBUR and NPR's show Here and Now. And of course, there's a podcast version. So want more of the top news reporting from public radio around the country? Check out Here and Now. Find it in the same place you found this podcast, wherever you listen. Just search Here and Now.